investing eternally, investing in eternity. This is a topic that each and every one of us should know offhand, that if at any time you are asked to give, what are the three areas in life whereby we can invest our time, or we can invest in eternity, or we can have a kind of investment like we have in this world, that people invest in stock market, they invest in business, maybe it might be offshore business, or might be land business, or hair business, or food business, transportation, whichever. There are so many areas you can invest in this world physically. But for us as Christians and as believers, there are only three areas whereby we can invest in eternity. Something you can invest in, that when we leave this place, at any time we finish here, that there will be reward, dividend in heaven. There are three areas that we shouldn't forget. At any moment in time, somebody asks you. And these areas are time, tell me the second one, and treasures. Time, talent, and treasures. Time, talent, and treasures. And some people call it popularly the three T's. The three T's. And I tell you, if we can give God our three T's, it means that God owns our heart. Very, very simple. Son, give me your heart. If we can give God our time, our talent, and our treasures, I tell you the truth, God owns everything about us. So don't forget, these are the three areas you can invest in eternity. That if you leave this place, when you get to heaven, a reward is waiting for you. If you can invest your time, even if you can invest your talent, if you can invest your treasures for the cause of the gospel, it is never in vain. God takes record of everything going on in this world. I gave you the preambles to this topic last week, so we want to continue this week the part two of this message. I'm going to explain some things to us, then I will take us to a story in the Bible where the three areas of eternal investment, that these three areas were demonstrated. I will take you to that as we continue the message this afternoon. Pastor Moses, you know, preached on these areas, and he encouraged the people to invest, and that was a great investment. And while people did that which was right, there was a revival. And what we're saying is that if we do the right thing, there will be a great change in our lives. If we follow God accordingly and we do what God asks us to do, there will be revival in our lives. There will be revival in our family. There will be revival in our church. There will be revival in our community. There will be revival in us if we can follow what God has for us. I think you all know very carefully that God, while he was creating this earth, put in place certain things to help us about time. The measuring of time is something that God established when he created this world. You know, the stars and the sky God put in place so that we could know seasons. Like in Chicago area, we have four seasons. You have winter, you have summer, you have spring, you have fall. As a matter of fact, on Friday, we're going to start spring in Chicago. Friday, this week, is officially spring begins. So, stars and the sky, God put this in place to help us on seasons. And then God set sun and moon to help us on days and night. Sun and moon. When sun is going to set, as sun is setting, then we know we're going to night, as night is coming. And when sun begins to rise, then we know day is coming. And the moon is there for the night. It will take God extraordinarily to do something to make night to become day. So God set this in place. You don't need to pray that God let there be night. Night will come. Amen? So God set all this in place for us to understand the fact that everything is timed in this world. But God himself is timeless. God is timeless. God is not constrained by time. Because you cannot say the year of God, the year God was born. Like you can say your year, where you are born, you can make a date. We don't have that about God. That is why it's God. He's omnipresent. God is not constrained with time. But because we are human, we are constrained with time. We are limited on time. You can imagine when you are born, some of us in this place, where you are maybe possibly having your birthday, you could bring out your photos from the beginning when you were infant, maybe when you are 1 year old or 3 months old, the photo that was taken. And you can compare changes. In fact, some parents, they keep that kind of a thing. Changes, when you are 10, you look how you change. When you are 20, how you change. 30, how you change. 40, how you change. Maybe 50, 70, how you change. And you can see that we have aging process. So, which means on the fact of time, for us as human, we are limited. But God is limitless. There is no constraint of time about God. That's why we call God the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days, the Rock of Ages. There is no beginning of God and there will be no end of God. And because of the fact that we are human and we are limited about time, that is why we need to understand these factors, these important areas where you can invest into eternity. Time, talents, and what? And treasures. And these are the areas that we cannot just play around with these things. Because everything is set in its place, and before you know it, you could lose all this time and without recovering it. As a matter of fact, time is something that is irretrievable. It's an irretrievable. Time is so irretrievable in life that if you spend it, you cannot get it back. And if you fail to spend it, you cannot capture it again. That is time. Amen? That is time. You cannot capture it again. If you let time go, it's gone forever. Anything that you're supposed to do in 2008 that you have not done, you cannot retrieve it back. It's irretrievable values in life. Time is irretrievable value in life. You can only spend it one time and never capture it again. That is why it is important for us to count our days so that we can put our mind onto what? Wisdom. Count your days. You are not going to be like this forever. Amen? If you have anything to do, if you want to invest in your family, you want to invest in God for eternity, do it now. It's today. Do it now. There are two reasons, I will say, why people serve anyone. There are two reasons. When we come on time, or on our worship, or on our service, when we give God our time in service, in serving God, as part of our relationship with Him, there are two reasons why people do this. There are two reasons why people spend their time either for God, either for their friends, either for their husband or their wife or their employer. There are two reasons. The first reason is you want to. You want to. Tell somebody, you want to. And the second reason is you have to. Don't forget these two reasons. You want to. Two reasons why we serve. You want to serve because you love this person. You want to serve because you need this person. And then the second reason, you have to serve because it is necessary. Because the employer said you must do it. Because the employer is going to pay your bills. You're going to get money to take care of some important things in the family. So you have to. You may not necessarily like it, you may not necessarily want it, you may not necessarily love it, but you have to do it because you need to survive. In the past, they called this slavery. In our days, we call it employment. Amen? You may not like the job you are doing. You may not even like the profession. You may hate it. But why do you go to do it? You have to. You have to. Who wants to suffer? There are jobs that are so challenging that when you are going in the morning, sometimes you may not be happy going. But come on. You don't want to lose that opportunity you have to pay your mortgage, to pay your car note, to pay for gas, to pay for electricity, to send me, to buy some things, to go eat somewhere with the money. So you have to. Now I want to ask you this afternoon, are you serving God because you have to? That man that is your husband, are you with him because you have to? Children, do you just do what your parents ask you to do because you have to? The fear of somebody whooping you, the fear of somebody taking some rights from you, so you are compelled to do it? Or do we do it because we want to? We have to serve God because we want to serve God, because God is worthy of our praise. Let's see Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Are you with me this afternoon? Amen. Let's keep riding on this great journey. Eternal investment. Investing into eternity is very important. Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. If you quickly look from verse 22. Servant, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Apostle Paul was writing to Colossians, the people of Colossae, and he said, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, and to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Anything you have opportunity to do, do it because you want to. As you begin to spend your time for the Lord, spend this time because you want to. And I want to tell you, according to what Paul told us here, everything will be rewarded. Anything that is done on high service, we take the reward of high service. Anything that was done as men's pleasers, we take that reward. But if we do it because we want to do it, because he is worthy to receive our worship, because he is worthy to receive our time, and because we are doing it, investing into eternity, we will be rewarded according to the word of God. Amen. Two reasons why people serve. You have to. A kind of slavery. Employment. You have to serve the employer. You have to. When you go to school, there are so many assignments they will give to you that you do from your mind. You don't want to do it, but you have to because you need the diploma. Right? You have to. When you go to doctor and doctor is telling you, don't eat this, don't eat that. Go to gym, go jump up, go swim, go do this, go spend time to run around. You don't want to do it, but you have to. Why? Because you want to survive, you want to live long, you want to have a healthy life. You don't want to, you know, suffer some unnecessary things that you could take care of. You have to. There are things people ask you to do that ordinarily you don't want to do it, but you have to do it because of certain benefits attached to this, that if you don't do it, you will lose this benefit. But Apostle Paul is saying here, but as for the Lord, when you do things, when you want to do things, do it with all your heart. Do it. Put in the best in this thing. Do it. Put in your best for in any way, because you are doing it unto the Lord. As a matter of fact, the difference between a Christian worker and an unbeliever is the fact that the Christian worker is doing it as unto the Lord. And look at what he says here. Servant, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. When the fear of God is in your life, you don't need to be monitored to do the right thing. When the fear of God is in your life as a wife, you don't need to be monitored to do the right thing to your husband. When the fear of God is in your life as husband, you don't need to be monitored to do the right thing to your wife. When the fear of God is in your life as children, you don't need to be monitored to do the right thing to your parents. You don't need camera to do the right thing. You don't need somebody to set camera on you or to give you GPS to monitor where you go to do the right thing. No, you don't need it because you fear the Lord, because you fear God. Amen? Am I talking to you this afternoon? So investment of your time is such that God is taking notice of every small thing that you do and how you spend your time. And remember, time is irretrievable value in life. You don't spend it, you lose it. You spend it anyhow, you cannot take it back and re-spend it. It is gone forever. But God is timeless. You are limited. And that's why you have to put your mind into this kind of message, brethren. It's very important for us. See how you spend your time. See how you spend your days. As a matter of fact, when you worship God, when you give God anything, it should be 24/7. Worshiping God shouldn't be limited to Sunday alone. Because in God we live. In God we move. In God we have our being. Brethren, let's think about these things. You should be with God 24/7. Because listen to me very carefully. You need God 24/7. You need God. Danger is never absent of, safety is never absent of danger. It is the presence of God. When God is present, you are safe. When you are sleeping, you need God. That's why God is timeless. God is omnipresent. When you are walking on the street, you need God. When you are in the church, you need God. Anywhere you may be, the need for God in our time is so important and is so necessary more than ever. How do you spend the time God has given you? All of us, we have these three gifts of life. Time, talent, and treasures. And how we spend this, we determine where we place our investment. Put all your gift, put your time, your talent, and your treasures where your mouth is. And that's what God is asking us this afternoon. Eternal investment. Let's see 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, and I think I should read from here, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Listen, you are just a steward of your time, of the talent you have, of the treasures that you have. You are just a caretaker. You can leave it anytime. There is no agreement between us and God as to when we go to keep holding on our time, keep holding on our talent, and keep holding on our treasures. There is no agreement. At any moment in time, you may be called home. It's a truth, but it's very sad. And people don't want to listen to that. I'm still reading the First Peter. I think I just finished this in First Peter chapter 5. I just finished this verse 10. Let me read verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. When you speak, speak as God is speaking. Don't let there be any bad word from your mouth. Don't speak word of discouragement. Don't speak word to tear people down. God is taking notice of how you spend your time, how you spend the mouth God has given you. How you spend the opportunity to speak. It's an opportunity. Not everybody can speak, brethren. Some people who are born, they cannot speak. So if you have the opportunity to speak, speak as an oracle of God. Peter, speaking here, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Minister according to how God has given you the ability. Do it whatsoever you do, what you are doing right where you are right now. Do something. You have something in your hand. If you don't have any gift at all, you have the time, you have the talent, you have the treasures. We all have it. Do it. Use it. Speak as an oracle of God. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The time God has given you, the talent God has given you, the treasures God has given you, they are to glorify God, not to glorify yourself. Am I talking to you? It's not yours. You are a steward. It's not your own. You are just a steward. You may not take it. You may drop it. You may hate it. You may not like it as I'm speaking it. It is the fact. You not liking it, you not, you know, loving it, does not matter. I'm loving it. McDonald's. Are you loving it? Yeah, I'm loving it. Children, even children, they love it. So you should love this. You are adult. You should love this one. Because men shall not live by bread alone. Men shouldn't live by burger alone. Hello? Let's live by the word of God. Everything that we do, let us do it as we're doing it to the Lord. For God to be glorified. If you're asked to come and minister in songs, do it to glorify God. If you have to pray for somebody, do it to glorify God. If you have to sweep in the church, do it to glorify God. If you're in children's church, do it to glorify God. If you are in evangelism team, do it to glorify God. Anywhere you find yourself, any assignment given to you in the church, brethren, do it as unto the Lord to glorify God. Because God is taking notice of all these things. We are stewards of our time, our talent, and our treasures. Because God wants to be praised. He wants to have dominion forever and ever. Why should he have dominion? Why should he be praised? Because he is God. Yeah, I don't know. We can query him. He owns it, right? He owns everything. He must be praised. He wants to be glorified. He is God. He owns you. He owns your time. You don't have anything. It's very often said that if you see a kid trying to struggle with you, whatever you have is struggling with you, he wants to take it from you, leave it to that kid. Let that kid sleep. Not too long, if you want to help the kid, give the kid food to eat very well. Very soon he's going to sleep. And before you know it, you see it, whatever he's struggling with, either your phone or anything, will just drop somewhere. And he's sleeping, he's dropped, and you can just pick it, it's not going to struggle with you. If somebody drops something while sleeping and you are picking it, he's trying to struggle with you, that person has voodoo. Because when you are sleeping, you don't know what is going around you, right? You don't know if somebody is coming, if somebody is taking anything. You don't know. If you keep money in the bank and you are sleeping, somebody is going there to pick the money. You don't know. Sometimes when some people are sleeping, phone is ringing, they don't even know the phone is ringing. Because they will sleep like a baby. That is for you to know that we don't own anything, that God owns all these things. So, and we must use these things according to how God wants us to use these things. Your life, every moment of it, every breath you take is a gift from God. Each day is a gift from God. We ought to wake up asking God, what do you want me to do today? You ought to wake up asking God. It's not your right to go to the office. Yes, it's not your right to go to the office. It's a gift. God asks you to go to, it's a gift to go to the office. It's not your right to eat. It's a gift when you are eating. Amen? The place to see, to compare this, to understand time and opportunities, and that we are still what is collection center. Go and see what they do to people in collection center. Look at that billionaire that was just taken in. He was living in one of those penthouse in Manhattan. He's now going to live in a very small room in a prison yard. They call it collection center, while they are waiting to sentence him. And he said he may even have a mate there. This is a man who fly in planes and took all people's money and enjoying, but they tried to correct him, tried to tell him, now you have to, you know, do things as we want you to do. They said, you have to take breakfast at a particular time. They will put light out. I think they said 11 or 10 p.m. light out in the prison. You cannot say, I want to read. You cannot watch television. They put, and when you have to wake up, you have to wake up. When you have to take your lunch, you have to take your lunch. Dinner is like 5 p.m. Because they will tell you it's not your right. It's a privilege. Now you misbehave, you lose that privilege. And you come to where they will now place you like a child. Everything that we have is a gift from God. Honestly speaking, the children that you have, they are a gift from God. They are not yours. Your husband is a gift from God. It's not yours. It's a gift. If God needs of your husband, let him go and be useful to God. Your wife is a gift from God. It's not yours. Don't braggado too much. I'm in charge. I'm the husband. She's a gift from God. If God wants to needs your wife, let God take care of it. Everything you have is a gift from God. The knowledge you have is a gift from God. As a matter of fact, it's God that gives power to get wealth. So if you have power and opportunity to have extra, you know, a kind of extraordinary wealth, it's a gift from God. If you are so pretty and you are beautiful, it's a gift from God. It's not yours. Don't use your beauty to rock the road, to rock the street, you know, to do havoc. If you're handsome, it's a gift from God. Don't use that. If you have any gift, if you have kind of, you know, a special given gift from God, don't use it in a negative way to harm the things of God. Use it in a positive way. Some of you can talk very well. You know, some people, you can keep them talking for 5 hours. They keep talking, they never go drink water. It's a gift. Not everybody can talk like that. Even some people, before they talk, you say, they pick one word. They relax again. Pick second word. But there are some people. Have you engaged people like that? Talking? They never allow you to talk. If you want to talk, you have to push into to the discussion. It's a gift from God. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody. Some people are gifted like that. Some people, they are gifted in technical things. They may not be engineers, but if something is wrong in the house, they quickly find a way of applying first aid before they call a technician or somebody, or, you know, a handyman to come and diagnose for it. It's a gift from God. Some people are so wise that you need good counseling. Go to them. They give you wisdom. They give you word of wisdom. They give you matured advice. It's a gift from God. If you have all these things, you know, use all these things to the glory of God. Some people, they start a small business like this. They blow it. Everything just blow out. It's a gift from God. Some know how to manage money, right? It's a gift. You know that some husbands, they have wives that can manage money, but they will never let her manage it. They will go and manage themselves and blow the whole money anyhow, blow it anyhow. And then they come back and blame the woman. And some husbands also can manage money. See, that is why when people come together, you bring your strength and your weakness into the system. I bring my strength and my weakness into the system, and then we trade. Okay? We complement each other. That is why it is good to stand together. Because together we'll make more strife when we are together. Because I will complement you, and you will complement me. Amen? When people work together, they achieve greatly. And before I just close this afternoon, we're going to have part 3 next week. But what I'm just telling each and every one of us is that we should try as much as possible to invest what God has given us for eternity. Because it is very important to do that, just for the fact that we are limited. Our scope about life is limited. We don't know what tomorrow holds. It's only God knows. God knows what is coming tomorrow. We don't know. You see, and that is why when you look at time, as part, you cannot explain these three gifts of life, time, talent, and treasures, without talking about each and every one of them. You have to talk about this. When you look at time, you cannot retrieve time. You cannot. And that is why you have to understand right now, and it is never too late. Plan the work, and then work the plan. Those of you that have gone into management, you know what I'm talking about. It's the popular thing in management. They tell you, plan the work, and then the next step is to do what? Work the plan. Don't waste time. Sit down. Look at how you have spent those days that have gone. How much have you given to the Lord from your time? Our relationship to God must be 24/7. That is it. That's what God requires from us. Not 99.9%. God requires 100% from you. And you will give account of this to God. Plan your work and work your plan. Let's see this story quickly before we pray. I promise you, you're going to leave here at 1 o'clock. So that will help me. Next Sunday, I will see people. They will say, hey, our pastor has changed. Amen? Our pastor is no longer preaching 2 hours. He has changed. Some people will think that we are still in service. When they come in 2 o'clock, they will see people. Where are the people now? We've gone to recess. Praise the Lord. The story of Moses, Pastor Moses, is a very good story that we should look into before we go this afternoon about our time, our talent, and our treasures. Moses, in his own case, turned it around. And Moses started to talk about treasures, time, and talent. He was not taking it like time, talent, and treasures. He took it in another way. Treasures, time, and talent. Or we can put it in another way. Treasures, talent, and time. Because there's no way you can spend your talent without spending time, right? If you have a gift, you want to spend it, you must spend time. Those of you that are here today, those of you that are gifted, maybe you are singing. Today you are using your talent and as well as spending time to explore into that talent. So you do the two together. Amen? So, Pastor Moses took people together. After they've passed through so many things, they've journeyed so far, and now very close to the promised land. And God spoke to Moses and said, now, I want to dwell among you. I want you to build me a tabernacle, the first church. Build me a building where I can dwell. Now, I've been with you. I am that I am. I've been with you all over the place. Right now, Moses, I want to dwell in your midst. Now, let's build a tabernacle. And what will Moses do? He came to people and he explained what God told him to people. If you believe God, you will be what? Established. And if you believe his prophet, you will do what? You will prosper. Some of us, we push our prosperity away. When God is speaking to us through the pastor, we will push it. We say, this is not for me. You are pushing away your prosperity. Because God is not going to stand physically and face you to talk to you. God is going to send his minister to talk to you. So God sent Moses to speak to these people. Exodus chapter 35. It's not going to be on the screen. Exodus 35. I just want to venture into these few minutes before we go. Exodus chapter 35. Invest your time to God because it pays. You will be rewarded. When you give God what he asks from you, man, there will be revival. You will see the revival that happened here. I've never seen that kind of revival again. I don't know if we're going to have it again. Exodus 35 from verse 4, I read, and Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's ear, and ram skin, red, dry red, and all those things he was asking them. Let's go to verse 10. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord had commanded. So Moses told them, bring all these things. Because God told him he wants to dwell in their midst, to build a tabernacle for God. And how is he going to make it possible? The people must cooperate with him. So he told them to begin to bring all these things. If you read from verse 20, it says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. After Moses explained the vision to them, he explained the vision, how the vision of how they have to build this tabernacle, the work at hand. He explained to them his aspiration about God, about building a tabernacle. He explained to them. And so the people left before Moses. Verse 21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments. So the people begin to bring those things that Moses asked them to bring. They were bringing. So Moses placed first their treasures, asking them for their treasures so they can invest in this work of God. Because when Moses was talking here, Moses said, bring it to who? To who? To God. He didn't say, bring it to Moses, or bring it to the church, or bring it to the congregation. He said, bring it to God. So anything you bring it into the church, you are bringing it to who? To God. Not to Moses. Not to the pastor. Not to the physical, you know, people you see. You are bringing it to God. It's an investment that will go eternity. We go into eternal life. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garment. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, both men and women. Everybody participated. People that are willing-heart. Listen, before you could get any investment in eternity, before you could have any reward to anything you have given unto the Lord, it must be willing-heart. It must not be by compulsion. You must not be compelled or forced to do anything unto the Lord. It must be willing heart. How do you know that people sometimes do some things and they are not willing in their heart? The comment they give outside. And those comments will come back to the pastor. Nobody is forcing anyone to do anything for God. When you come into the church, into a place of tabernacle, into a place of service, into a place of congregation, where people of God congregate, anything you do there, you are doing it unto the Lord. Do not grumble. Because if you grumble, you are doing it by high service. And that's not the word. Because it's not winning heart. It's not winning heart. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and ghost here and red skin of lamb and badger's skins and brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found sheathing wood for any work of the service brought it. And all women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands. Some women will go and work with their hands because they were wise. See, some of us, we don't understand when there is a call to do something in the house of God, if you are wise, go and make sure you are part of it. Because you will be rewarded. These women, they went in and spied. They went in and worked. So because they were wise, so they can be part of it. They did not leave it alone to their husband. Some of us, when there is a call to do something in the church, say, honey, go and do it for us. Honey is doing it for himself. Amen? Honey is doing what? Sugar, do your own. There's a difference between honey and sugar, right? Sugar, do your own. Let honey do it. Praise God. These women were wise and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. Verse 26. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's ear in wisdom. And the rulers brought rulers, even rulers, leaders among them, brought their own. Let's jump to verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. They brought these things because God commanded Moses to tell them to bring these things. So they invested their treasures for the cause of the work of God. Hey. Amen? Brethren, let's do this investment. It is time to work for God. Do something. Do something for the cause of the gospel. When God asks you to do something, let us do it. Plan the work and work the plan, brethren. Plan something for the Lord and work it out for the glory of his name. Let's see. I have all these notes put down here. If you go straight to Exodus 40, we're closing very soon now. You go to Exodus 40, you discover that when these people willingly did that which God asked them to do, before you go to 40, let's just check 36 from verse 6 to 7. You see that people, when they keep bringing, got to a stage, Moses told them, come on, this is too much. The revival was so serious because everybody was trying to be part of it. Everybody was trying to spend their time for God. They will go out, even women will go and spend their time to look for something to bring. They don't want to come before God empty-handed. Some people want to come before God empty-handed. Some women said, I must be part of this. So they spent their time. So Moses was so moved. There was a great revival in the congregation. Everybody accepted the message Moses brought. Chapter 36, before we go to that 40, I will read from verse 6 to 7. Are you with me this afternoon? Am I really talking very well on this eternal investment? Am I passing a message to you this afternoon? Sure? God is your strength. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Amen. Verse 6. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Those who delayed, those who said, I will bring my own. Moses, Pastor Moses, you know that economy is serious right now. So when my economy improves, as a matter of fact, when I finish all those payments, I'm owing Uncle Sam. I will bring my own. Do you understand me, Pastor Moses? People like that, those who delay, cannot retrieve the time because everything was timed. At a particular time, Moses said, stop. Don't bring anything. We have more than enough. There's no way I'm going to keep these things. It was a great revival. It was a great revival. And that is why, listen, when you get the opportunity comes but once. When you get the opportunity to serve God, please jump at it. Don't even wait. Don't wait for your brother. Don't wait for your friends. Jump at any opportunity to serve God, because it may be just that only opportunity you will have. Exodus 40. When we do the right thing, there must be revival. You will have financial revival in your life. When you invest your time for God, when you invest your treasures for God, when you invest your talent for God, there will be spiritual revival in your life. There will be physical revival in your life. The grace of God will be there for you. And I would like to explain to all of us. Sometimes it may not be as you think it should be. See, the investment in the world, they may tell you the time it will yield, right? When you invest in the world and you put in maybe like $10,000, they can tell you when it will grow to a particular stage and it will yield something. They can say in 5 years' time, if it's a fix, they will say in 5 years' time it will yield this. You cannot do that with God. You cannot do that. You may be investing. That's why some people, they get confused. Pastor, I'm paying my tithe. Why is it right now that you know, they are not promoting me in my office. Pastor, I'm paying my tithe. I think that my employer should double my pay because they said, gifts have been given unto you. Bible says my people die because of lack of knowledge. You must understand the word of God. You don't do trade and barter with God. You may give God today, and the word may be 10 years' time. You may give God today. The word may be just right now. It's God. It's God. He does whatever he likes. You cannot continue to hold the hands of God and be twisting the hand of God like they twist the hand of people in Wall Street Market or the, what do you call this place in New York? So, brethren, that you must understand when you do something for God. But one thing that is certain is that according to the scripture that we are going to read right now, if you do what God asks you to do, God must visit you. Amen? The glory of God must be seen in your family. The glory of God must be seen in the congregation. Look at verse 33, 34. Chapter 40, verse 34. Exodus 40. Am I there? I want to read from verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. After these people did what God asked them to do, and then they put things together, God came and filled. The glory of God was so much that Moses cannot come inside. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of God was so much in the tabernacle that Moses cannot go inside. Moses cannot step inside because of the glory of God. If you continue, he said, and when the cloud was taken off from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. It was when that glory of God, that cloud departed, that they can now proceed. Because at that time, it's not the same thing right now. Amen? As we're in the church right now, the glory of God is here. And who brought that? Jesus Christ. That is why some of you or some people that still think they are still in the Old Testament, they are wasting their time. Right now, we are in the time of grace. There was a word of partition that cannot make Moses to get into the tabernacle because the glory of God was there. If Moses stepped inside there, he could be killed. Are you listening to me now? But Jesus Christ removed that wall. He removed it. Let somebody read in the congregation Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. And you will see that. Right now, we are dealing with God. You have right to the throne of grace. You can enter the glory of God. You can enter into the tabernacle. The grace of God is sufficient to keep you alive. Read it, please. Yes, it's our peace. God is what? Our peace. Jesus is our peace. That is where you have right to the throne of grace. You have right to call on God because Jesus is our peace. He has removed the wall of partition between God and man. He has removed it. If it were the time of Jesus Christ, Moses will walk into the tabernacle because the wall of partition will have been removed. How are you spending your time? How are you spending your treasures? How are you spending your talent? God visited Israelite here because they did what the pastor asked them to do. I want to tell you very carefully that giving God a few minutes in a week is not sufficient. God needs your 24/7. I want you to think about this as we are going this afternoon. Think about how you are spending your time. Think about how you are spending the treasures God has given you. And think about how you are spending the talent God has given you. God is always faithful. And there's a reward to faithfulness. If you are faithful too, you'll be rewarded. I told you in part one of the story of the talent. The one that was given 5, one was given 2, and the other one was given 1. The one that was given five traded with that five talents, and it was double for him. When the master came and he told the master what he has done with the five talents, oh my God, the master was very happy and blessed him more. The one with two did the same thing. But the one with one went and hid his talent. He was condemned. And the problem there is that what you do with what you have, it's not how many you have, but what do you do? If you have one, what are you doing with that one? If you, listen, it's not how long you're going to stay in this world that matters. When we are talking about the investment into eternity, we're talking about the fact that the quality of life you are living, the quality of time you are giving God, 24/7, how much are you giving God? Are you happy giving God your time? Some of us, we think we are helping God when we come to church on Sunday. You think, yeah, I'm just trying to encourage the pastor. Thank you for encouraging me. But you are also encouraging yourself. Because everything is going to record. God is going to ask you, how have you spent your time? How have you spent that talent God has given you? If you are gifted in any area, don't wait right now. Begin to do something. Begin to do something about that talent God has given you. Because God is going to ask you. He's going to ask you. Last week, I also told us that Jesus spent how many years in this world? 33.5 years, about that. Under 40 years, it passed. But we never forget Jesus Christ. So now, it's not how many years we spend here. That's so important. But how much you have handled the time that you have to stay here. Because you will give account of your time, talents, and treasures. Father, we thank you this afternoon. We bless you because we are a good God. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity and the privilege we have to come together this afternoon. We thank you for speaking to us. We ask that you help us, O God, so we can have listening here and the mind to do in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed Holy Spirit, we ask, O God, this afternoon that in all that you have given us, we pray that we will give back unto you. You have given us as a gift in life, and we will give it back to you as a gift also in the mighty name of Jesus. That you let this word continue to expatiate in our heart and continue to be expressly explained in our heart in the mighty name of Jesus. As we close our eyes, I don't know, maybe you want me to pray with you. I want to raise up your hand. Maybe God is talking to you about your time. He's talking to you about your talent, talking to you about your treasure. We're going to go deeper into this message as we go into many other parts that we may possibly handle. I don't know how many parts it's going to be. I'm still reading. Maybe you want me to pray with you. You want to raise up your hands. Please close your eyes so I can pray. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, I thank you for all these hands that are being raised up right now this afternoon. Blessed Holy Spirit, you know their heart. You know what they desire. You know what they're thinking about what you have given them, the gift, life that you have given them, their time, their talent, their treasures, that they are.